The following broadcast of Sioux Valley Voice was recorded earlier. You will not be able to call in during the next hour. The next live Sioux Valley Voice will be on Wednesday, January 21st at 10 a.m. You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna. We are community radio for the Upper Susitna Valley. I'm Philip Manning, and this is Sioux Valley Voice. My guests today are Sue Dio and Laura Wright of the Talkeetna Historical Society. We'll be discussing the Historical Society's work in the community and the preparations for 2016 centennial celebration, and we'll also be taking your calls. The number to call if you want to join in on the conversation is 733-1200. Sue, Laura, thank you for joining me.
Thanks.
Sure. Thanks for inviting us.
So I guess just to get us started, we should clarify what each of your roles is at the Historical Society. Sue, we'll start with you.
I'm the manager. The exact title of site manager has been that way for quite a long time. It could be changing in the future here fairly shortly, but we won't talk about that too much until it actually happens. So.
Okay. And Laura?
And I am a board member. I am just finishing up my second year of a three-year term.
Okay. And so I guess just to get us started, well, I guess first we should mention that Sue's voice might be familiar to KTNA listeners.
This is an odd kind of thing.
Right? Well, it's odd to be on that microphone, I would think. You're used to be sitting where I'm sitting. Of course, Sue is one of our volunteers and a board member and used to have my job.
So. Yes.
But I guess just to for folks that might not be as familiar, let's start with kind of an overview of what the Historical Society is and what it does.
The Talkeetna Historical Society started in 1972, the oldest nonprofit here in Talkeetna. I know there's people are familiar with a lot of different nonprofits in Talkeetna, but it's the oldest as far as I know. There, somebody can call in and tell me or correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it is. It's, you know, had its own history and morphing as things changed through the years. But they started, actually, they started to, in the efforts to preserve the old schoolhouse. We have the museum now. In those days, the schoolhouse had just closed, and they were trying to find a way to preserve that schoolhouse. And that's really one of the main reasons why the Historical Society started in 72.
Okay.
1974 is when the museum opened. So we've just had our 40th year, the Talkeetna Museum.
Okay.
And it's 40th year. And we preserve history. You know, we try to do our best to archive and preserve all historical aspects, mostly of Talkeetna, but really it's the Upper Susitna Valley. I mean, Laura would hopefully agree with that. Hmm. You know, it has to do with Trapper Creek as well as, you know, everything, because mining here was sort of spread out.
Mm-hmm.
And the river is part of our history, and the railroad is part of our history. So we actually are concerned with Curry and other places.
Right.
Well.
Plus, we have a historic district registered historic district that does encompass downtown, but it also deals with mining, aviation, and mountaineering.
Okay.
Yeah. So now, these days, the historic district is really part of our efforts to preserve as well.
Okay. And, of course, now the schoolhouse that you mentioned is the kind of principal building for the Historical Society Museum.
Right. And now we own six buildings. So it gets a little crazy sometimes. People are like, oh, what do you do? we try to take care of six different buildings as well as all the other buildings in town. Right now we have an issue, or a little bit of one. Nagley's has sold.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a new owner. And it's... you know, me going to that owner saying, hey, this is what Talkeetna is about. Do you have questions about it? And your building is a huge part of Talkeetna's history.
Right.
Nagley's is. It's really one of the centerpieces along with the Fairview in that schoolhouse.
Plus, we also own actually a fair bit of land. We mm-hmm. might be the largest property owner in downtown Talkeetna. Maybe the Park Service might have more land, but I believe we have 3.5 acres.
Yeah.
And we have open space with trees, and that's very important, I think, as Talkeetna develops.
Right. We're really one of the last, we're the last, about the last green space left in Talkeetna in order to preserve that, too. There's the Village Park, but the only other park in the town with trees and open space is the land that Talkeetna Historical Society owns.
And is it that's down where Bell's Barn is?
Right. Well, it's part of Bell's Barn, yes, but it's also the park where, if you look beyond the museum itself and where the Ole Doll Cabin is, that whole
next
area,
to the ball field.
It's a park.
Okay.
Yeah, next to
and
the
then
field.
Across
I
the
see.
Street, the Harry Robb Cabin is also has the Strawberry Patch.
Right.
And that's part of our property.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. I actually.
So that whole area is owned by the.
Right. And then
Society.
Is the Three German Bachelors Cabin, is that Historical Societies as well?
Yeah, and that's one a really interesting one that might take an hour in itself to talk about. But we don't own the land. That's Alaska Railroad mm-hmm. owns that property, and we actually have to pay rent for that piece, for the building that we own that sits on the Alaska Railroad property.
Yeah, land ownership in Alaska can get interesting very quickly, as I've discovered. So, I think a lot of our listeners are going to be at least fairly somewhat familiar with, you know, what the museum is and where it is and that sort of thing, and kind of what's there to be seen. And you've kind of covered some of that as well: mountaineering, aviation, mining, a mm-hmm. lot of Talkeetna's history, and just. I guess with last year or the year before the determination was made to, or there a grant, the Historical Society got a grant for the centennial celebration?
The way that happened was the state of Alaska gives grants, off and on they have an opening, and they give grants to communities that are preparing for a major event, mostly centennial. So Anchorage has their centennial in 2015. They just had this grant last year.
Okay.
So it's a grant to help plan for your celebration. In other words, planning your centennial or whatever big event it might be. And you know, we saw the board and I saw it as an opportunity to say, well, you know, we could celebrate our centennial. Well, then we get to the point saying, well, what actually is our centennial?
Right,
because
when
we were
it?
Never found it. But really, 1916 was a year. I mean, 1916, there was so much activity. The railroad, the President of the United States had declared Talkeetna as one of the stops on the railroad. So that was a big thing. Because the railroad comes through Talkeetna now. I mean, it wasn't necessarily going to. I mean, when they platted it, that's just where they platted it. And it ended up being one of the stops along the railroad and one of the major ones, actually, when they were first building. So by 1916, there was a lot of activity in town. There was a sawmill and a trading post and a general store and an imperial cigar store. there was a lot of activity, and people had actually built their houses.
Okay.
I mean, there are people actually building houses. In 1917, it got even bigger. In 1918, I think, is the year that the railroad... Yeah, there was a decline in population in 18, but that was because of the influenza epidemic that killed
right,
a lot
Spanish
of people.
Flu.
Yeah, killed a lot of people. But the railroad, as the railroad was being built, there was still a lot of activity.
Okay. And so that's the year that's been chosen?
Yeah, and for better lack.
I believe Ken Marsh over in Trapper Creek helped us with that decision.
Okay.
Yep.
And there was a post office incorporated that
year.
And,
yeah,
okay.
post office opened that year. And everybody sort of decided. Roberta was actually still alive when we were trying to figure that out. And
Roberta
and,
Sheldon.
Mm-hmm, and she gave a nod to that. to say, well, you know, for better lack of it, I mean, read her book, and says all the things were happening in 1916. Now, some people would say, well, what about some of these other years where things happened? And it's like, well, yeah, that's true. There were other things happening, and by 1919, they sold off lots in downtown, but the thing is that people actually already had their homes on those lots.
Right.
It's one of those things like, well, now we've built our house, could we own our property?
Right.
It's great history and interesting, and we learn bit by bit. We actually learn a little bit more as we go along, and I've uncovered some of the railroad books and some of their documents to help us figure out what was actually happening in those years.
Okay. And when you say railroad books, you mean like their records?
Mm-hmm. Records. And there was a woman in 1962 or so that actually published a volume one and two of a railroad in pictures. And so it's the Alaska Railroad and all the photographs that were ever taken by the Alaska.
Oh, wow.
The AEC, which was the builders of the railroad. And it's just, it's huge volumes of books and photographs and information. And it's helped a tremendous amount as I try to research, like, what was actually going on.
Right.
And one of that leads to what one of the current things we're working on as a board is to try and compile this information that is in many, many different places and to have a file on each building in town or each important person and have that information in one place so that we can, as we go forward, be a resource for the information. Right now it's scattered in many locations.
Yeah. And forms.
And forms.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's one of our ongoing projects. Also, okay. I just want to mention that, you know, obviously this area was very important to the Native people prior to 1916.
Yeah, right. It really began a lot longer than
sure.
About 4,000 years ago.
Yeah, and we certainly, and we are also working toward some exhibits related to that. And we have a small bit in the museum now regarding the Native population, but we're working to improve that. In fact, Sarah Birdsall, one of the board members, and Fran Seeger-Boss are involved in that aspect.
Right. Okay.
And if people ever, if people went to some of the shows that another organization has done, NSI was having some evening programs, and Katie Krasinski is one of the leads in trying to figure out where the Natives were and what was happening 4,000 years ago. And she's given us a lot of information as well, and hopefully will continue to help us with some of those displays so that we can really focus, have at least one display on Natives and what was really happening, you know, a cohesive exhibit on what was going on 4,000, 3,000 years ago here.
Yeah, well, it's great. This is Sioux Valley Voice. We're discussing the Talkeetna Historical Society and the upcoming Talkeetna Centennial, which will be next year. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can call 733-1200 or send us an email, dj@ktna.org. Now, you mentioned, you know, that there were Native populations here, and one of the things that's being worked on is figuring out what groups were where. Do we have a rough idea? Of who was here and when?
They were, yes. I mean, somewhat anyway. Fran Seeger-Boss works at the borough. She is the cultural
anthropologist
for the borough. And she's done a lot of work, along with Katie Krasinski and others who've come through and tried to figure out. They were a nomadic people. They didn't ever settle here, really. There was no buildings or anything like that. But there's a lot of cash pits. There's a lot of information. There's hunting sites and that kind of thing that they've uncovered. So that all of that information is available, but it's very difficult probably for the general public to find that.
Right.
And we'd like to be able to make sure that that's available for anybody who wants to find out information on that.
I do believe we do have photographic pictures of Chief Nikolai's house in the town site and how that was relocated when the railroad came in.
Okay.
So there is some more recent Native
Athabascan information, right?
Okay.
As well, for sure. And yes, some of the things I was talking about was, you know, 1,000 years ago. And yes, we did have, you know, we have the Nikolai family and some of the others. We do have quite a bit of information on.
Right. Right. So I guess it's still very much in the planning phases, I know, but what sort of things is the Historical Society looking at for the centennial celebration as far as what's going to happen?
So the deal with this planning is hopefully to make every organization and businesses as well think about it themselves and say, well, you know, if we have the centennial, what are we going to do? We're sort of the oversight. You know, I'm going to make sure that there's banners and we have some money with some of the planning includes brochures or pamphlets or information that can go out to the public. But little events, specific events, are sort of up to the community as a whole. We figure there'll be a bigger 4th of July parade or whatever.
We know what our theme will be.
The theme is the centennial. So, you know, 100 years. Well, you know, anybody is welcome to jump on that. I mean, KTNA could jump on that and say, hey, let's, I don't know. I mean, you know, this, I don't know, the sky's probably not the limit, but, you know, come up with an idea to say, hey, we want to do this.
Right.
One of the things that we as the Historical Society are really focusing on is getting the funding and or continuing the funding from our planning to have oral history night. To
a lecture series.
And that might just be about it, except for helping others plan.
Sure.
They need assistance in something that they're doing.
We are going to make some interpretive panels,
yes.
new ones. If
yep.
you've walked around town, there are interpretive panels attached to the 6 museum-owned buildings, and we'd like to expand upon that and put one at Bell's Barn. And we'd also like a general one, which doesn't exist, about why is town here?
Right. What's it about?
What's it about?
People wander around. I'm sure you're seeing people wander and saying, well,
like, you know, what's the deal here? So that is one we're planning that might go in the museum parking area
or the village park.
So we have money for that.
Okay.
So those are more concrete examples of what we'll be doing. But no, we don't have a big party planned other than perhaps New Year's Eve.
Yeah, which is
2015.
Has been a big, which we've talked about, and other people have said, oh, let's have a big New Year's Eve party. And I think that's a great idea. We can talk about the timeline party here in a second, but it could be that we'll do another one at the end of 2016 or something like that to say, hey, these are all the things that we found along the way, along our journey of finding all this information. This is what we found, because I think a lot of things are already starting to pop up. People asking questions and saying, hey, you know, I have this film from 1952 or, you know, whatever. and I think that once we get all those things start to roll along, that we'll have, you know, by the end of 2016, a lot of really cool stuff.
Okay. And so, I mean, it sounds like the year as a whole is going to be celebrated as the centennial. Is there a specific day? I mean, I know you've mentioned there are a few events that kind of tie it together with the railroad and the post office opening.
No, there's not, because everything sort of opened different times.
Right.
And, you know, this summer, as we've planned, so there is a timeline or a committee that's helping with all this. And you know, we take suggestions for sure. Somebody's like, oh, I think it's really great. One suggestion was have as many people in town as you can get down to the river and take a big photo, you know, have somebody fly over and take a great big photo.
Like an aerial photo.
That would be great.
Everybody along the river. Whoa, you know. And I don't know when that could be and how, but that's going to take a little bit of planning to do that.
Sure.
Or
the village park. In off season.
I think a lot of businesses are very busy in the summer, so I don't know that there's one specific day. My guess is July 4th would probably happen.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that 4th of July, you know, in the last several years has been we have a parade and it could be a bigger parade and you'll say, well, the theme is going to be 100 years and that's the way it'll be. So there's not any specific date. People, you know, the thing is that there are certain things that happened in 1916. If somebody wants to pick that date and say, hey, we're going to do this thing, June 15th or whatever, then I think that's great. I mean, any organization that wants to jump on and say, hey, we want to have a specific event for something celebrating that particular year, I think it's just fine.
Okay.
That's great. And I'm certainly happy to share the timeline and come to the timeline party and see what we're trying to do.
Timeline party. It's next 2 weeks from now.
So that sort of came, you know, the timeline party is really funny because that is part of our planning process, and it came out of just discussions and people saying, well, how in the world are we going to plan all this stuff? Let's have this timeline party so everybody understands what happened when, you know, what was happening 4,000 years ago, what happened in 1916, what happened in 1963, when we had 2,000 people in town. How many know that trivia question?
Yeah, that was a good one.
So really?
The timeline party is January 17th?
17th, yes. 10 days
Saturday.
From today.
Yeah, it's a potluck.
4 people. To 8 p.m.
Yeah, and we basically did that because we knew that DAC is having an event that night and said, hey, people come into town, you know, have fun at our party and then go on to whatever event is going on that night. And
it's at Northern Susitna Institute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we'll have a lot of information, and we hope that people bring their stories. People who have been around a long time have a lot of stories. And it right. won't be just this one night of sharing, but hopefully this is the kickoff to that.
Okay.
To get people start thinking about, oh, my God, yeah. I remember what happened in 1964 or 1972.
So, Sue, is our idea we're going to put a big butcher block yep. paper mm-hmm. all around okay. the yeah. room, and it's going to be divided up into decades. And then the people are going to come in and they're going to write, yep, I came here in 57 and, you know.
And I remember, you know, whatever.
Whatever little nugget or person that they remember, you know, that was so. If they say, I knew Frank Jenkins or, yeah. you know, or Adolph Missouri or whoever they knew. And maybe a little tidbit that would help us to compile that. Or when we don't have a whole lot of information in the files over there, actually about the 60s or 70s.
Yeah, we have some, but not a lot. Yeah. And, okay. you know, we get there's things that happen all the time. People come to Talkeetna. They love Talkeetna. They've heard about Talkeetna. Or maybe their great uncle lived here and they're trying to find him. And I'm like, oh, I wonder who that guy was. And specifically, a couple of days, last weekend, a woman walks in and she says, I grew up in Hawaii. My great aunt lived in Talkeetna, we think, and she owned or operated the Fairview or something. And, you know, really sketchy information. And suddenly we found, we think that she was Lena Morrison, who owned
oh
and operated.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Stubb Morrison was Don Sheldon's partner. Huh. She was the sister of Lena Morrison, and she ended up dying here.
She came up here, yes.
Yeah, and she came up here, and
she
died.
The bubbly one.
She mm-hmm. died, and they shipped her body back to Hawaii. But it's things like that, like, oh, who remembers, you know, somebody who was Hawaiian that, you know, and... but it's important to certain people.
Right.
And some people may not believe, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. But it's like, yeah, but it's somebody else's family that you're
right.
talking about.
Right.
So,
and then also, if you can't come to the timeline yeah. party we are having, you can, if you, yeah. but you have a great photo or memory, you can post it on our Facebook yeah. page
okay.
that we have. So we like to have a virtual timeline party going as well as the
I see.
Physical one.
I right. see.
Yeah. So if people can't come, they're like, oh, I'm going to be out of town. That's fine. I mean, stop by the museum at some point and say, hey, I have these photographs. Or if you don't want the photographs as part of, you know, you're not giving them or donating to the museum, and you just say, hey, you can use this off and on. That's fine, too. You know,
okay.
Just let us know what it's about.
You're listening to Sioux Valley Voice. Our topic today is the Talkeetna Historical Society, specifically the centennial celebration next year. If you want to join in on the conversation, if you have any historical insights to add, perhaps, you can give us a call 733-1200 or send an email to dj@ktna.org. You know, it was interesting, Laura, what you were talking about with the timeline party. You know, it seems like it doesn't have to be some major event that somebody remembers. If it can be just this, oh, yeah, so-and-so lived at so-and-so spot in 1947 or whatever. So
yeah.
it's...
They remember. I mean, there's still people who remember the 1950s or the 1940s. They grew up here, or they moved away. Some of those people are still members of the Historical
okay.
Society. I mean, H.W. Nagley III is a member, and we hear from him every year.
Okay.
We hear from other people who are, you know, connected to Frank Monicus and some of these old names that people who have been around a long time know, but... yeah, it doesn't matter all that much. Even if it's a small event, or you remember when you got here and what something was like. Oh yeah, I remember how that airstrip when somebody landed there, and I don't, you know, there's all sorts of
yeah. I think it just helps with the overall putting things in place, and helps with interest make the town more alive and interesting, especially when you're going yeah. to make interpretive panels or walking tour brochure that you can say, hey, you know.
Yeah. So, and that's a good point. It reminds me, some of the planning, or one part of the planning grant is actually making a walking tour app of downtown Talkeetna. And that's
okay.
really what Laura's working on, her big thing, and she's desperately looking for people to help. So if you want to help with that, you're more than welcome to jump in with it too. But we, you know, we said, really, people come here and they don't have any idea about, number one, about the history, number two, about what they're supposed to see or where things are at.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, well, you know what, we should have a walking tour app. People can, you know, nowadays, people actually have phones and they can do that. Most people do. Mm-hmm. There are people who don't, and we might come up with an idea to say, if you come by the museum, we have... That could be part of it.
Right.
I'm not exactly sure. That's all. Right.
Well, we still have the paper walking tour, and we'll be updating that. But this will be on your phone, and it will give you the history of the building with a photograph, and also a photograph in winter, since everybody wants to know that.
And information about the winter, because what happens to the people who come here in winter? I mean, people from Anchorage and other places visit in wintertime.
Sure.
You know? So, yeah. Well, it'll have information about all the different buildings, you know, what that building is about, what this other building is about, what the roadhouse is.
So what we did was a group of us got together and we assigned ourselves buildings. And these were all historic buildings, but we didn't get everyone because some of them are privately owned. So if you own a private business or building and you want to get on the walking tour and have a little bit of information about your building or the people in your building, because I got assigned the Fairview Inn, which frankly is a daunting project.
Indeed it
is. And I'll be spending loads of time there.
Well, it's a real hardship.
I also got the Village Airstrip.
Okay.
Which is another one.
Which has a great history. Right. And so there's a lot of information to compile and then to put onto this app. And then people will stroll down Main Street and they can just learn up a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah. And get correct information.
And get correct information, which is mainly our, you know, the deal is that there are so many people who come and they think that, you know, they still think people live in igloos or they, what, I mean, I don't know, think of some
they think
crazy
it's closed
thing
and
crazy.
Totally in the
yeah,
winter.
Closed,
right. But it's
you
like,
close
yeah.
down in the winter or, you know, whatever.
The roads aren't plowed.
Exactly.
A lot of people ask what our former government is here. So that's things that we can cover.
Yeah.
You know, when you're strolling down Main Street.
Yeah,
understand exactly
you know,
how it
the
works.
Council is and that sort of thing.
Right.
So it'll be a fun project and a very organic one. We'll be loading
And it can change, and it will change as time goes on because history is, yesterday is history.
So, yesterday, you know. Right, exactly. before we get to the bottom, we'll take a quick break at the bottom of the hour, which is coming up in just a few minutes. And this is easily a topic that could take up an hour in and of itself, but I want to bring it up is for someone like me, I've lived in town just over 3 years now, and I've read a few of the books about local history, things like that, and actually just got some more for Christmas, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Great.
But if there were you know maybe three must read local history books, if you wanted to get just to get started on understanding what's going on.
I think Roberta's.
Yeah, Heritage of Talkeetna.
Yeah, Heritage of Talkeetna. That gives you an overview. It's not really in depth, but it's an overview of things that
and
have happened over the years.
Ken Marsh's A River Between Us.
Ken Marsh wrote A River Between Us.
It's Upper Valley.
And he's coming out with a new book, too, which I think will be great as well.
And Ken Marsh runs the Trapper Creek Museum.
Yeah. And then Cache Creek Murders.
Yeah.
Also Roberta Sheldon?
It is, and it just is so I thought it was fascinating. I just read it this last summer, and it really gave me a sense of the connection of Petersville and the mining and the whole time frame and how things really worked. And I just love the fact that a long time ago, town was actually busy, quiet in the summer and busy in the winter.
Because that's when you could travel the river?
Right.
Because they were mining in the Peters Hills and Dutch Hills all summer long, so there weren't many
Nobody
people here.
Anybody.
And they wintered here, and then they just trapped and got firewood and
partied
at the roadhouse. More.
The roadhouse, mostly at the roadhouse.
But that's where you party.
But that's what things were like, and I agree with Laura. I think that book, Roberta Sheldon did a huge amount of research for that book. She tried really desperately. She always was trying really hard to come to the truth, you know, what was really the history, you know, forget all the stuff that people actually said, but what was really there. And so that's a really great book. Really
and
is.
All three books are available at the Talkeetna Historical Society
yes.
Museum Shop.
Yes.
We're open Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 4.
Yeah. Along with some other really cool things like t-shirts and posters.
We have other books by local authors such as Sarah Birdsall.
Yeah,
Ghosts of Talkeetna, which is a fun one.
And I understand she's working on a second volume. volume for that?
Because she's like, oh, fine, all right, fine. There's so many stories.
More ghosts came out of the woodwork, so she had to keep writing.
She's got
to
keep writing.
And it's a great book and popular. Yeah.
And like I said, Ken Marsh is working on his second book. Yeah. Actually, Lavish Silence is a really great book, too, if you just are interested in Curry. That is a book about Curry and about the railroad. There's other information about Talkeetna in there, too, but that's a really... very cool book if you're just interested in the history of the area. It's a lot of fun to read. And, and it's some really great photographs.
Great.
So, yeah.
Well, this is Sioux Valley Voice. My guests are Sue Dio and Laura Wright of the Talkeetna Historical Society. We'll be taking a break here for just a couple of minutes. If you want to join in our conversation, you can give us a call, 733-1200, or send an email to dj@ktna.org, and we'll be right back after this break. And we're back. You are listening to Sioux Valley Voice. Our topic today is the Talkeetna Historical Society, specifically Talkeetna's centennial celebration, which is coming up next year now. I'm used to having to say 2016, but I suppose that is now next year. My guests are Sue Dio and Laura Wright, both with the Talkeetna Historical Society. And during the break there, we were talking a little bit more about the Timeline Party and kind of what's going on. And, you know, for someone like me, like I mentioned before the break, I've only been here a few years, and so I'm still trying to get a grasp on Talkeetna's history. But from what y'all were telling me, Sue, it sounds like there's stuff there that would definitely be of interest for someone like me who wants to learn more but may not have much to contribute.
Oh, sure. Anybody is welcome. If you, even if you don't even live in Talkeetna but care about the history, that's fine. You know, it's a community event. It's open to everybody who wants to show up. I hope that it does pique interest for people because we're always looking for people to volunteer, people to be on the board. And if people are really love history, then why not? You know, if anybody who's curious about anything about Talkeetna, come on in and look at it. I think there'll be a number of people who have been around for a really long time too, and the stories that will come out of all of that, I think, will be great.
So you mentioned at the break that Ken Marsh has some film.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's going to be able to make it to the party, but he and I have been in touch, and I said, yeah, we want to show that film for sure. He has I think it might be actually two different films because one's in color. One's a color film from the 1930s or 40s. So, anything that we get, and I know a couple other people have approached me and they say, hey, we have these films, you know, the 16 millimeter or whatever. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not, I am not going to show anything that's in its original form. But if people have something they want to donate to the museum, or they just don't even know where to go, maybe they have a film and they're not really sure what it looks like because they haven't played it for a long time.
Right.
We're happy to help.
Right. How many
people? We have connections.
Yeah. Or if there's someone out there who is one of these tech people that has 16mm or 8mm projectors, we could use their help. Because we have a pile of films at the museum in a cabinet.
We have there's a local guy here, Greg Curtis, who has been helping and will continue to help and has the technology to at least help with some things. He can't do everything, but he actually then has the connections down in Anchorage to help us get others. And part of that, you know, if we end up having a big pile, that's just another grant. And we just say, hey, we want to preserve. And Alaska Humanities Forum and other people like that are more than welcome or more than willing if I write the grant. I mean, you got to do the steps, but they love to help with that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So there's definitely help out there if somebody has a film that they're just not sure of what to do with.
Okay.
So we are hoping to have at least one film shown at the timeline party.
Oh, yeah. We might have two.
Great.
So, or maybe three. We won't promise, but we hope that's what it's about.
Right. Yeah. Well, if you want to join in our conversation, if you have some insight on Talkeetna history or questions of your own, you can call 733-1200 or send us an email, dj@ktna.org. And I see the phone light flashing right now, so hopefully we'll have a caller here in the next couple of minutes that we can talk to.
And I do want to say, people who have been around a long time, for your information too, Philip, I think pretty much everybody in Talkeetna has been on the Historical Society board.
At some point, it's one of those rotating.
If you've been here more than 10 years, there you go. We have, I continue to uncover lists like, wow, who knew that? People, you just pick a name and they've been on the Historical Society board.
Well, I think that, you know, that holds true for a lot of boards, DAC board, KTNA board, and they were all established about 10 years after each other. We do have a caller on the line. Let me get that connected up here. And it looks like we've got Robin Song, another one of our great volunteers on the line. Robin, are you there?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I danced with the Talkeetna Gold Dust Can-Can Dancers. During the early 1990s. And that was two summers, and we danced during Miner's Day and the Moose Dropping Festival. And I have, of course, photos and films. Would you be interested in that?
Yes!
Oh, my gosh.
That'll
great.
Fit nicely into the burlesque event happening after the timeline party.
Right? Isn't that the same night?
Yes.
Yeah, because people, actually, that's great, Robin. I'm so happy you called because there was an effort last year, and I just didn't have the time, but people wanted to know the history. Truly the history of that, of you, of the Can-Can, how that originally happened, you know, and some of those things, because it's had a long history.
Right.
And that's great.
Well, thanks, Robin.
Okay.
Yeah, would love it. And stop by or call, come in. I'm there on the weekends. This weekend is a little bit different, but somebody is always there on Saturday and Sunday, and we're happy to help. And if you have that film and you're not sure what to do with it, we'll help you figure out how to get that onto a digital format.
Okay. Oh, Robin, is it video?
It's 8mm.
8mm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll help you with that. Because it needs to be preserved, and it would be really fun to see that. So,
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Robin.
All right. This is going to be fun.
Sounds like it. All right. Well, if you have a similar little bit of a tidbit to add, or if you have questions for these ladies from the Historical Society, give us a call, 733-1200, or send an email to dj@ktna.org. So, I imagine there's a lot of people like Robin who have, mm-hmm. and I think y'all were talking about it before the break too. It's like just have stuff that's like, hey, would anybody actually be interested
ever
in this?
Ever want to see that? Yes, actually, we would. Well, you know, it's a tough, you know, the some of that old film is tough because you don't know what it's, what it actually contains. You know, none of those films are actually all that good. You know, they're not, you know, they're not a professional
film. Not highly
film.
Produced.
They're not highly produced, and that's okay because that is history, and that's what it was like in those days, and it actually shows the historical aspect of even film itself. Mm-hmm. So that's fine, you know. We can take a look at it, and sometimes some of those films are not worth a whole lot, but some of them are, you know, depending on what they have in them.
Right.
It's definitely worth a lot. And that, you know, that's just an example. One example of some of the things that really mean a lot, have a huge historical, in their own way, have historical significance. The Can-Can dancers. Mm. I bet you the people, many of the people who are involved today don't know anything about what it would have been like in 1991. Is that what Robin said, 1991? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, also, right with the Can-Can girls, the other thing that people come into the museum and ask about, Philip can help us out with this one, is the history of the bachelor auction.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That gets a lot of press, and we don't have an exhibit on that. We have mail order catalogs around.
Yeah, right.
Mail, M-A-L-E order
catalogs.
Yeah,
have a M-A-L-E. And how, you know, right, what's the history of that? You know, we have the history of the Moose Dropping Festival because that's what it was. That was our fundraiser.
Your event, yeah.
And our event. And some people don't even remember that. But there's a number of events that happened throughout Talkeetna's history.
So what's your trivia question? What year that an important event happened in 1963?
1963. What important date in history happened?
Right here.
We were the epicenter of this event in 1963.
I would say natural phenomena.
A natural history.
Okay. Well, if you know the answer, give us a call, 733-1200, and see if you're right.
I want to know if somebody out there is listening. I know this person has even a bigger part in that history and its own history because... I'm not going to give it away. Just call in.
I mean, I know of a couple things from 1963, but not sure if I'm right or not.
Yeah.
So if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, people who are interested, somebody like Philip or somebody who has only been here for a couple years and they would love to know more, come to the Timeline Party and come by the museum sometime and say, hey, I just want to be a little bit involved. You can be a teeny bit involved or you can be a lot involved, and it doesn't really matter. There's tons of stuff to do there. A lot of archiving and a lot of all sorts of things.
Yard work. Snow shoveling.
Shoveling. Yeah. I mean, all
really
sorts
of glamorous jobs down there.
Glamorous jobs. But anything, you know, I mean, we couldn't have survived without the help of a long list of people over the years who have done, who have shoveled snow or planted a flower or
painted.
Painted or thawed out pipes, like what happened yesterday. Thank you very much, everybody that was involved. You know, thank God for people like Eric and Jeff Lebeg and other people who have really put a lot of time into things and just said, oh, yeah, whatever. Buy me lunch sometime.
There are definitely a lot of those folks around in Talkeetna.
Yeah.
And KTNA benefits from them greatly as well, I should say.
Right. And you actually have, I mean, KTNA has their own historic building information in a way too, right across the street.
And you can see it out the fishbowl.
Yeah.
Here.
and there's people here who are volunteers who weren't ever part of that. I mean, they're still volunteers who were.
Right.
But it's got its own, KTNA has its own history in town.
Right. So we
history.
Can put that in the 90s decade
yes.
of
right.
the timeline.
Right next to Robin's video of Can-Can
Girls. Right, the Can-Can Girls, that's right.
So I you know, you mentioned the bachelor auction, things like that, and things that happen outside of the purview of the Historical Society as events and businesses, things like that. So for those folks who might be involved on boards of directors or who might own or work for businesses, what's the best way for them to coordinate if they want to do something, either to help out with the timeline or have their own centennial event and get it kind of, you know, cross promoted?
Well, I would say number one, we've tried to hit every business in town or most businesses in town. saying to give us their information, you know, when was their building built? When, mm-hmm. What was their part in history? And if they want to get involved or they want to do something, fine. I think it's great, and they can call me, and I'll help if they need help with something.
But we also looked for sponsors as part of the grant.
And for sure, if they just want to say, hey, I can't really be involved, but here's a couple hundred bucks or whatever, that would be great, because we still are looking for the grant is actually a matching grant. We don't have exactly all the matches yet, and if there's a business out there who says, oh, hey, I didn't give my money yet, and I'd love to be a sponsor and be listed on the list, on all the promotion that goes out. We'll be sending out promotion, and if you are a business and you want to be a sponsor, please call us. And
also we will be reprinting the walking tour brochure on paper, which gets out to thousands and thousands of people, and that's where we have our list of sponsors on there, and most likely on the walking tour app
as
well.
Yeah, the walking tour app. Yeah. Okay. So please do.
And I saw the phone light flashing again. And this person might well
she
know the answer to your
answer.
Question. So we have Carrie, who I think may still have her radio on.
Turn your radio off, Carrie.
Yeah, and we'll put you back on. Ooh. let me turn that back down a little bit.
Yeah,
I heard the echo there.
Sorry about that. So I just wonder, I don't know why that's happening, because I don't have a radio on.
Oh, geez.
That in the mid-80s, I would say 84, 85-ish, and maybe 86 as well, that at least three-quarters of the can-can dancers were teachers at the elementary school.
And you have photographs, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Were you part of that group?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
there were a number of us, and we used to do Jane Fonda routines in the elementary school gym, getting ready for our dancing.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, it was great fun.
And do you happen to know the answer to the trivia question Sue asked?
You run the trivia question back again.
What a significant event in 1963, where Talkeetna was the epicenter of that, was basically the epicenter of that event. It brought about 2,000 people to town.
On one day.
On one day.
I don't know, but there's somebody here who might.
I bet.
He's been outside and he didn't have his radio on.
Oh, jeez.
So maybe I'll have him call you back.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay?
All right. Okay. Thanks, Carrie.
Good show, you guys.
Thanks.
That's great. See, that's what I mean.
So Can-Can Girls go back to the early 80s now.
Early 80s, yeah.
And maybe before that.
Yeah.
Before that, teachers.
There is a history of the Can-Can Girls on the walls of the Fairview.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
Yeah, but then, how far back? And that is interesting that mm-hmm. was. We'll have to look for Carrie and other people in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I know. Now that now I'm going to go back and start looking at some of those pictures again and seeing who I can recognize.
My memory is Chris Drummond.
Well, I know she was, but I think that was a little later. Okay. That wasn't maybe that was in the 90s.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, but that's a great piece of it. All of that, is really, people are like, oh, history and whatever. But if we don't have our heritage and know what's what, then, if we don't have our history, then.
I'd like to get a little bit of history about Talkeetna around the sewer lagoon and pre and post and the controversies there and what town was like. Because I always heard, people were getting sick and we had to get rid of the outhouses.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
I think that's a little interesting nugget. Not too. It's a pun there.
Yeah, it's a nugget of information.
Yeah,
there are people in town still who worked on the new sewer lines and information, and it'd be great to hear some of that too.
Sure.
Anyway.
Let's see who we've got this time. Oh, there
we have. He knows he has to have the radio off.
Right. Well, and I think part of the issue was actually the phone line were using. So let's try it. We've got Dave Johnston on the line. Dave, do you have the answer to Sue's question?
Yeah, sure. There was a solar eclipse on the 20th of July.
Yay!
Woo-hoo!
Total solar eclipse.
And where were you?
I was sitting on the summit of Denali, right smack on the summit, and there was no wind. My journal pages didn't even ruffle. And sat there and watched this incredible eclipse from up there on top.
Incredible.
Wow.
That's amazing. That's
yeah, it sure was. Mighty lucky.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Dave.
Yeah. There's. So you didn't see all the people in town.
No, I didn't even realize that was going on.
We have an amazing photograph of the end of Main Street with people walking down to it with their eclipse glasses,
right.
And there's actually a helicopter flying over.
Yeah.
Wow.
People laying on the beach.
Like, it was a very hot day,
yeah.
And still in sunny until that time.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
And I knew that had happened. I knew you were there. And had you just done a traverse or what? I can't remember.
Yeah, we were halfway through. We'd come up the Muldrow and we were headed down the West Buttress. And the night before, the 19th to the 20th, we camped about 50 feet from the summit.
Great.
Thanks.
Yeah.
See,
that's
another
a great
part
story.
Of our
yeah.
Great story.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Dave.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for
Thank
the
you.
Show.
Yeah.
Sure.
Bye.
So he brings up a really good point. There's and this is another thing we're working on is he actually is on tape, and they've and there is history, audio history of mountaineering, and
right.
A lot of mountaineering history,
sure.
That's already been recorded, but the general public wouldn't necessarily know that exists. Some people who are interested in mountaineering know it exists, and if you really know what you're looking for, you can find it. But the museum would like to have some of that audio really, really readily available for people. Just press a button and listen to some of those stories, because Dave's story is on tape. He's told that story previously, as well as his 1967 climb and some of the other
mm-hmm.
things. Daryl Miller's on tape. Barbara Washburn is on tape. A lot of
jukebox program
through
program UAF, I believe.
Yeah, there was another grant that was given years ago, and they did a big, big project. But it's not necessarily readily available for people to listen to, and we'd like to try to get that available as well.
Okay.
So.
Well, we got about 10 minutes left in the program, so still time if somebody wants to give us a call, 733-1200, or email dj@ktna.org. You mentioned audio, kind of multimedia things, and of course KTNA has archives. A lot of those people you just mentioned, Dave Johnston, mm-hmm. Daryl Miller, Tom Choate. We've got a lot of audio from Tom Choate over the years, I think, and who became the oldest person to summit a couple
right.
of years ago. And you've also talked about this app for
right.
the walking tour. And so, how much multimedia integration do you have planned for that? Or is this just kind of a walk around town signposting kind of thing?
The app, I think it can morph, for right now anyway, it probably will be fairly simple because... there could be audio involved with it, but when we first launch it, I don't know if that we'll
yeah.
have the time to do that.
My goal is to launch it with written word and photographs,
okay.
and then to eventually add voices.
Some
and
narration.
I'm hoping that perhaps like Tricia wants to talk about her building.
Mm-hmm.
Philip might do over
there
voice.
At the Fairview. Or Philip.
Or,
oh, I'm thinking of
Philip. Philip Widener.
No, Philip Widener.
So, yeah, that would be further down the line. It could get more and more involved. And I've looked at a lot of walking tour apps, and they can get pretty fancy where there's
right.
a video of a person standing in front of the building that you're looking at telling you about it.
And,
sure.
and we can do that.
Yeah.
I think that so it's a contract basically that we'll have with a company who does these. I mean, there's several companies in the United States who that's all they do is
mm-hmm.
they do walking tour
you
apps.
Just
you
enter the information.
You enter the information, they tell you, they help you out,
and
then...
I believe there's going to be an actual QR code on the building, and
okay.
you hold your phone up to it, and you get the information. Or you can do it as a, progressive tour that will start at the Welcome to Beautiful Downtown Talkeetna sign, go down Main Street to the river, over
okay.
to the ranger station, down the alley, and at the museum.
Okay.
Right. Or however, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. So you can pick it up in any order.
Pick it up in order. Any
okay.
order. And most people end up at the very beginning of Main Street usually, but you'd be able to take the tour, or it would get you to the point where you want to begin the tour or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll see how it goes. This whole summer we'll be working on it, and that's the other thing is this planning grant is for this year. It's not for next year. It's to plan, and it accumulates at the end of September, and everything will be done by that point in time. The things the things we've been talking about. Now we'll continue to do work on history and different aspects of it, and the whole idea of having Oral History Night, that will happen through the 2016 year, but. But some of these things, like the walking tour app, will launch at the end of this year, and banners or whatever else we talk about as far as promotion will happen by the end of this summer.
Okay. Well, we've got a few minutes left, so you know we put a lot of information out about what's going to be happening, what's coming up. But I think it'd be good to recap for those who might want to get involved, might want to help, kind of what the steps are and what they should do. So I guess first thing was. The timeline party next Saturday, the 17th, you said that starts at 4 o'clock at NSI?
Yep, 4 to 8 p.m.
4 to 8.
Yep. We'll have refreshments. As you please. We'll have nibbles out there.
Yeah.
And,
it's a potluck. Bring something to share. We'll have Denali Brewing is providing us with a little beer, and we'll have some wine, and anything else anybody wants to bring is fine. It's a community party, so... you know, invite your friends if you'd like to. And if you do have a story or you have a photograph or something like that, we'd love to take that as well. There'll be something set up so that people who have a story can write something out and post it up.
Perhaps we could get stories recorded, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we do have that kind of...
I see you looking at me when you say that.
We do have the ability. We do have a recorder, but Philip, if you'd like to help us with that, that is great too. So anybody with a recorder, we haven't tried to figure out it's not going to be, if we get that, it's not going to be the best recording space because, as you know.
Right, it's going to be loud and echoey.
We could go into a side room.
We could get to a side room, or we can get it at least on tape so that we can contact that person later and say, hey, we really want to go in depth with this story because it's great. I mean, some of the people have, I mean, like Carrie and Robin and other people have really, really fun stories to tell.
Sure.
And then if you want to help with the history of any of the buildings, you could contact me, Laura Wright, and my number is 733-2510. I have like six or seven helpers now, Holly Stinson and Sarah Birdsall and Kathy Trump, but we're all got three buildings each, and we're feeling a little overwhelmed. It's a fun history project. The information, most of it is probably buried in the files at the museum and various other places, so it's kind of fun sleuthing out that stuff.
And if
we didn't cover all the buildings, there's buildings available.
And yeah, there's buildings available, and if you have a specific building you love and you want to help with that, feel free to do that. The museum's phone number is 733-2487, and you can come by the museum if you want, or you can email manager@talkeetnahistoricalsociety.org, or you just go to our Facebook page and post a note or whatever, ask, and we're happy. If you don't necessarily, if you're like, well, I sort of want to do this one thing, or maybe you're somebody like Pat Pratt who says, I want to do, you know, maybe just a little thing. I want to do one little thing. That's fine. And go ahead, and I can give you the availability of all the different things. There's a lot of filing. There's, in the summertime, there's flowers. In the wintertime, there's shoveling. And there's a lot of, there's so much stuff to be done. Basically just going through some of our archives and getting the filing system is, over the years, I mean, we've basically kept every single thing. So there's a lot of work.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much everything.
Piece of paper.
Every piece of paper. So there's a lot there. So, if somebody wants to be involved in one way but not another, that's just fine. I'm happy to have you task you with just one tiny little thing.
whatever people are willing and able to do. Huh?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, great.
And if you're interested in having a really big part, that's just fine too. I'm happy to train and work with you. And just because you haven't lived in Talkeetna 35 years doesn't mean you can't help and you don't, you know.
Sure.
So.
All right. Well, we're down to just the last couple of minutes here. So, and I guess that all that information as far as contact info holds true for folks who might be interested in holding an event during the centennial year.
If you're a business or you're an organization and you want to hold something, That's great. Let us know if you're still working on it and you're not really sure what it is. That's fine, too. If you think, oh, God, it'd be really great to do this one thing on the 4th of July, that's fine.
I imagine there'll be a lot of that.
There's a lot of that, and I think that's great. If you have an idea saying, wouldn't it be just really fun to have, you know, something, whatever it is, feel free to call me. I'm happy to help guide an organization or business in a certain direction. Okay. Say, sure, why not have, you know, whatever kind of party is just fine.
Okay.
We can't do it all. We don't have the money. We don't have the resources at the time. We do have volunteers. But if DAC or somebody else says, hey, if KTNA says, hey, we want to bring back nuggets, you just go for it. I think
that's
great.
Yeah.
You know.
Nuggets.
Or, you know, I mean, yeah, whatever, anything.
Well, we'll definitely take that under advisement. I'm sure KTNA will find some way to participate in the centennial celebration. That is just about all the time we've got for today. My guests have been Sue Dio and Laura Wright of the Talkeetna Historical Society. If you missed part of the show or you want to listen again, Sioux Valley Voice will rebroadcast at 7 o'clock tonight, or you can listen online anytime at ktna.org. I'm Philip Manning. Thanks for listening.